Hey, it's the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host today. Before I introduce my guests, I just want to put one thing out there. We now are recording these interviews, and we're putting them on the YouTube channel. So you can go to WJBM Radio, and we've got a lot, not all. We just started about a few weeks ago, but you can catch it, share it with your friends. They're kind of fun. Add the video to it. And with me today, longtime friend. Gosh, we go back a ways.
We do.
Yes. Brad Vaca. How are you, Brad?
Doing great today. Thanks, Chris.
Yes. And you live over in Campsville, out in the country.
I do, out in the middle of nowhere, God's country.
And used to be a city boy.
I used to be a city boy. Not a big city boy, but Collinsville, so that's big enough. That's a lot bigger than where I live now.
And now you are a consultant.
I am.
For a company called Vistage.
Vistage,
yes.
Yeah. It's a CEO consulting firm. It's been around for 65 years. It's the largest in the world. And got about 50,000 members throughout the world.
And you tell them what to do? Tell them the things that they need to know?
Well, I consult with them and help them make the right decisions.
Yeah.
To be better managers, better CEOs, and, you know, grow their companies.
You could probably help us around here a little bit, couldn't you?
I could. for no cost, even.
Oh, you drive a hard bargain. Brad and I, you grew up in Collinsville. You were born there?
I was. I was born in Collinsville. Went to St. Peter and Paul Catholic grade school, and it's where I actually met the love of my life, my wife, Terry.
In grade school?
In grade school. In first grade, we met, and I had a crush on her in first grade.
No kidding.
I did, and of course, she did not have mutual feelings, but we then went on to Collinsville High School and graduated from there, and we started dating in our sophomore year, and we got married about 2 weeks after our senior prom.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah. So I've been married close to going on 48 years now.
Now, I know you went to college as well. When did you go to school? So you went right to work, didn't you?
I went right to work right after high school, and I was a medical phlebotomist, took blood out of people. And then that got me a job at Ralston Purina, and they paid for my education at night school to become a mechanical engineer at WashU.
I'll be darned. So you must have been pretty smart, huh?
Well, I don't know about that, but I enjoyed it.
I mean, so you're pulling blood out of people, but Purina was after you.
They weren't necessarily after me. I got a job as a lab technician.
Oh, okay.
And so they paid for college, and I asked, where can I go to college? And they said, anywhere you want. And I'm like, WashU? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm in.
So that's nice.
Yeah, I was going to be a chemical engineer, but they didn't have chemical engineering offered at night. And so then I was going to be a chemist, and then I realized that chemists don't make that much money. So mechanical engineering, I like rebuilding cars and working with my hands, and so I went into that, and it was a good decision.
So did you stay with them for a while, but then you moved on, you moved around a little bit?
I went to Anheuser-Busch after that and ran their Eagle Snacks division, not the engineering. So I was director of engineering for Eagle Snacks and Campbell Taggart, which was their baking division. Then I worked for them for about 5 years, and then when Anheuser-Busch divested of all the companies they had, they wanted to focus on the brewing and the beer side of it. So they sold the Cardinals. They divested of Eagle Snacks, which they sold all the capital and the equipment and the buildings to Frito-Lay and got out of the snack business. And then they spun off their baking division, which became a company called Earth Grains. So then I became director of engineering for Earth Grains. We did about 25 to 30 acquisitions over a 10-year period and grew pretty large. And then Barry Baraka, who was from Anheuser-Busch, ran that division and then basically sold it to Sara Lee. So then Sara Lee owned us for, a number of years. And then Sara Lee sort of imploded and started selling off all their divisions. So long story short, Raw Corp bought us. I was with Raw Corp for 3 years, and then ConAgra bought us, and then I got tired of being bought and sold, and so My son had started
getting used and abused.
Yeah, exactly. My oldest son, also a mechanical engineer, had started a business when he got out of college. It was HVAC, engineering and construction.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me about that.
And we did construction projects in all continental U.S. Big ones, yeah. And when I started with him, we were about $10 million in revenue. And then in 5 years, we grew it to about $50 million in revenue. And it was a great ride, but then, you know, father-son working together, and, you know, it got tough on that side because, you know, we were working too many hours, and we were stressed out, and, you know, I had some medical issues at the time, and I just decided it was time for us to get out. So he took care of me, and I retired at the early age of 59 and a half, and Terry and I went out and traveled the country and Europe, and, you know, a company called Vistage knew about my background and wanted me to become a Vistage chair. That's what they call them.
Hey, before we get to that, how did you get to Campsville?
Oh, yeah,
because you were in Collinsville, you're working, you're getting bought and sold,
right.
And then why Campsville?
My mother is from actually the Campsville area. She was born and raised up there. She was baptized at St. Agnes, and she was raised there till about 3 years old. So I'm familiar with the area. Always loved it. My great-grandparents were from the Golden Eagle area. They were there for years.
So you had roots.
I had roots there, yeah.
Yeah.
So I love hunting, so I bought a farm, 90-acre farm up there in 1999.
Company were you with then?
I was with Earth Grains at the time. And so I got a nice bonus, and I decided to invest in some property. And Terry likes fishing. We have a couple ponds on the property and some clear running streams. And
was it hard to find that property? How did you go about finding that particular property?
Well, actually, I was invited on a hunting trip for second season deer. In that year, 1999, and I was sitting around a campfire with the guy that invited me on his property, and I, you know, was lamenting the fact that I wanted to have my own property and say, hey, you know, someone right down the road from me is going to sell a property, so let's get in there before the realtors he lists it. So I did. I went down there that day or that night, and then talked to him, and you know, got a great deal. And
did it have a house on it?
It had a little hunting cabin.
Yeah.
Very small, 16 by, you know, 30.
So you had to add on, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We bought that, added on, loved it.
It's we out found in ourselves. Sticks.
It's out kind in of the sticks. Yeah. It's a half mile off a county road.
And right.
If you know the county roads in Calhoun, they're pretty out there anyway.
Right.
So, we're 45 minutes from civilization, which is to us Jerseyville. So we come here a lot to Walmart and grocery shopping and whatnot. So that's how we bought the property there. We found ourselves coming there so much, and then I worked down in St. Louis, and so we had, you know, I worked in St. Louis, I lived in Collinsville, I had a place up here. We were moving, you know, going back and forth from, between all of them. And then I went to a thing called a Curcio, which is a three-day retreat, religious retreat, and sort of opened my eyes to how we were living our lives. You know, we were, you know, living high on the hog and, you know, partying a lot. And so on this particular Curcio, exactly, that's when I met your brother.
Matthew. Yeah.
And fell in love with him. Fell in love with some other guys, Tim Carmody and some other folks from Calhoun, and we're like, you know what, we're tired of moving back and forth. And so in 2007, we moved up here and just have loved it ever since. The community, the people, it's so much different than where I came from. And I still have great friends down in Collinsville. I mean, I don't mean to diminish what's going on there, but we had to make a change in our lives.
What was the difference in the Calhoun people that you met?
Community. I mean, the community of Calhoun is, for instance, something happens to a person in Calhoun, they get cancer, or, you know, their loved one dies. I mean, the community just surrounds himself around him and you know, takes care of him and has fundraisers for him. And they're just there. There's a different presence in Calhoun than there is in most larger communities, let's just say.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Brad Vacco with us. Been living in Calhoun for how many years now?
Close to 20 years.
20 years.
18 and a half, something like that.
Yeah, another 20 and
I'll be a hooner.
You'll be a hooner. Yes. Let's touch base a little bit. Let's do a pitch for your Curcio weekend.
Yeah,
because,
okay.
You know, I think I became involved in Curcio as well. Mm-hmm. And actually... we were on a few teams together.
We were. That's how we actually became close and got to be friends.
We did, yeah. Mm-hmm. But what's your view on the Curcio weekend, you know? Why somebody'd want to do it?
For me, I was a cradle Catholic. I went to church religiously every Sunday. You know, Baltimore Catechism was seared into our brains when we were kids. And we were sort of taught how to be Catholic, but we really weren't taught how to love Jesus. And so on that weekend, I just learned how to love Jesus and opened my eyes to how I was living and how that might not be how God wants me to live. Not that I was, you know, a bad person or anything, but I just wasn't living my life as a good Catholic Christian should.
And maybe how about happiness?
Oh, the difference is, I was chasing the golden ring all the time and trying to get the next promotion and climbing the corporate ladder.
And you were doing well.
I was, but I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
I was working too many hours. I was stressed out. My wife and I, Terry and I, weren't getting along as well because I was neglecting her and neglecting the family. I was, you know, in the corporate world and just growing rapidly. And I thought I was really tough stuff. And then at Curcio, it sort of knocked me off my pedestal and realized that, you know, all of that was not because of me. It was because of, you know, what the Lord gave me. And then I realized I had to start giving back. And so with that being said, we felt like we had to change our lives. And we had the farm here in Calhoun, and we really liked the folks that, we were experienced with. Your brother, he became one of my best friends and just an inspiration to me. And, Tim Carmody, and there's a handful of guys that were at that first Curcio of mine and are still good friends today.
Can you explain a little bit what a Curcio weekend entails?
Sure. It is it's a 3-day weekend. You go to Quincy. You're sort of sequestered there. It's at a north campus of QU, and it's an old Franciscan seminary. And you go. You spend 3 days, and there are lay witnesses. There are priests and deacons that have talks about the faith. And mainly it's a bunch of men getting together and talking about their faith and sharing what God has done in their lives to change their lives.
Didn't it start off in Spain?
It did.
Yeah. And didn't it start off originally to bring men to be, let men in Spain originally started by a brother or a priest or somebody
exactly.
to bring men back into the church, because in Spain, all the women and the kids would go to church and the men, they'd hang out at the bars,
right.
They'd saloon and they
yep.
would go. But
exactly.
It was
post World War II it was post World War II. And, this priest started this program and it just caught on and it spread all over. And now it's in damn near every Catholic country. It's Catholic sponsored. However, for the Quincy Curcio group, you don't have to be Catholic to go.
Right.
So, and that's another thing that really makes it sort of special, is because You know, there are Protestants and Catholics, and they're sharing their thoughts about their faith, and it's just really, it's life changing. And after I came back, I really encouraged my wife to go, and she didn't want to go whatsoever. She, you know, just another retreat weekend that she didn't want to do. So I finally twisted her arm, and she went, and she loved it as well. And then it started a journey, and it really changed our marriage. It changed our happiness. It changed how I live my life. And, you know, I just love it.
Now, you and Matt went on the first one together?
Matt was on my – he was a speaker. He did a witness at the first one, and so did Tim.
I just remember when Matt went on his first Curseal, right? I was in nightclub, bar business, hotel business, and I was running 100 miles an hour, you know? And Matt came back. And he was wanting me to go on this Curseal. I'm like, I don't think
that's
so.
What everyone says.
I don't think so. I don't think I want to do this. You know, I'm busy enough. I don't have time to give away a whole 3 days. But what I saw with him is I saw the change in him, you know, over, you know, several weeks. You know, I'm witnessing him. And after being around him for, you know, like a couple months and just seeing what a different type of guy he was, you know, so happy, you know, and just so loving and happy. And just like I said, hey, I think I'd like some of that.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I was ready to go, you know.
That's the perfect witness. It's just how you change your life. And that's how you draw others. I've taken probably 15 to 20 of my friends, and, you know, most of them were either non-practicing Catholics or are practicing but just going through the motions. And the only reason they went, they said, was because they saw the change in me.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing of it is, it's the Curseal program is geared to get men to be leaders of their family, in, you know, be the religious leaders, the
right
Christian leaders in their family. And so the man has to go first. The wife can only go if the man goes.
Right. And there's many women that want to go,
yeah,
but they can't go because their husband hasn't gone yet.
Right. So that's kind of the trick, yeah, isn't it?
Exactly. Get the guys to go, then the women will come.
Yeah. And I don't know of anybody, any guys anyway, that go away bringing something home, you know, that's worthwhile. It's the best three. So a lot of times I hear this. It's the best 3 days of my life.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. I wouldn't say that
I mean,
too loud, because I would think my marriage and the birth of my children might become before that. But
as far as like a weekend, though,
yeah,
you know,
exactly,
spend the weekend, it's pretty wild.
It is.
It's a wild weekend.
Half the time you're laughing your butt off, and then half the time you're bawling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
And very consuming. I mean, you're going
right
all weekend.
Right.
You get done, you're wore out.
Yep.
You know, you come in on Thursday night at about 7 o'clock,
mm-hmm,
and don't get out of there till Sunday about 7 o'clock, yeah, 8 o'clock, something like that.
Yeah, so, it's worth it. I would tell you that
it's jam packed. Yeah, it's a good one. Anyway, now you are a couple things that you do now. We really didn't get into the consulting business that you handle, but we might do that next time.
Okay,
You are also president of the local St. Vincent de Paul.
Correct.
What do you guys do at St. Vincent de Paul? Or what does that cover? What
is it? St. Vincent de Paul is an organization that started by a guy named Frederick Ozanam and some college students in the mid 1700s in Paris, France. And their mission was to meet the poor where they are in their homes and help the poor. So what we do is we don't consider ourselves a hand out. We consider ourselves a hand up.
Okay.
So what we do is we go into the homes of the needy. We assess their needs. We try to figure out where their issues are, why they are poor, why they are having issues, and we try to help them in any way we can. So we provide rent assistance, mortgage assistance, utilities. We pay a lot for utilities. We do everything we can to keep the family in the home. and well fed. So,
where do you get your money from?
It's all donations. Every bit of our, we have some government funding, but
how do you get those donations?
Well, that's been a problem. When we first started, about 6 years ago, just an elder gentleman, Jim Twitchell, and I were both retired at the time, and we decided we wanted to give back to the community. So I had been involved in the St. Vincent de Paul in Collinsville. So there, and our local food pantry, that was run by Lutheran Family Services, had closed 5 or 6 years prior. So there was no way to get food if you were a poor person in Calhoun. So long story short, we started working with the St. Louis Food Bank. They gave us a grant if we would find a building to buy in Calhoun. So we bought a building in downtown Hardin, and we refurbished it. And the Holy Spirit was with us all the time, because we needed a lot of money. We needed a lot of money to buy it. We needed a lot of money to fix it up, because we basically tore it apart, completely remodeled the interior. It needed a new roof. We put that on Facebook. A lady in a nursing home saw it and wrote us a check for $12,000 for the roof. Wow. We needed a new HVAC system. That went on Facebook. We got a check for $7,000 from a member, a person, just to put the HVAC in. We had a company that donated the flooring. Another thing that helped was the local unions got involved. So we had the unions came in and wired it for us. All union electrical employees came in from, and they were all local guys. Yeah. They came in and wired it for us for free. We had plasterers and drywallers come in, same thing, union guys came in and offered their services. You know, we paid for the materials, and sometimes we even got discounted. I think one of the local electrical companies donated some of the electrical wiring and whatnot for us. So it's been quite a blessing, because every time we turned a corner, there was a donation. We had a couple large donors that gave $20,000 checks. We had people that had local businesses that were tithing to us and giving us 10% of their profits every month for quite a while.
Wow.
The first 5 years was just a blessing. And now all the newness is sort of worn off, and we're really sort of struggling. It cost us about $45,000 just to keep the lights open with liability insurance. And we have a walk-in freezer. We have a couple of other freezers and numerous refrigerators that we have to store the food in. Most of our food comes from local food banks, but then we also buy food too, because it's supplement. Because all the government programs are drying up with the Trump administration. And I'm not trying to make a political comment right there, because I'm a Trump guy. However, the money's just not there anymore.
Yeah,
and so, quite frankly, we're going to have to start cutting back on services. We already have. We used to give up to $1,000 per family per year to help them with whatever they needed help with, and we're having to cut that back to $500. We're cutting back on the food we're buying, and so we're sort of struggling there. But we're going to have a fundraiser on November 1st at the KC Hall in Calhoun, and so I'd invite everyone to come to that.
Yes. Well, Brad, thanks so much for coming in today. It's been a pleasure.
Chris, it has been a pleasure.
Yes.
Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Yes. So you take care and keep doing the good work you're doing.
Thank you.